This podcast replay is brought to you by Pallet Rack City, 305-887-9212. It's your one-stop shop for all your warehouse needs. They buy and sell new and used. Pallet Racking, largest used racking inventory in South Florida. You want a great rack? Go to Pallet Rack City,
305-887-9212. Oh, yeah! It is time to rock and roll, baby. We are live and ready to have some fun on a beautiful Tuesday. Hope you guys are doing well out there. Hope you ladies and you guys are doing well out there, because you got to be fair, baby. Anyway, a lot of things to talk about today on the program, because, you know, we do it all sports, a little pop culture, some music, all kinds of stuff. And usually we usually have too much to talk about every single day, so we leave some of it on the table.
You want to talk some NASCAR, man?
Well, yeah, we did a lot of it last night on Sirius, and obviously our thoughts and prayers are with Ryan Newman and the serious condition that he's in. The good thing is they're non-life-threatening injuries. It's going to be hard to get updates, obviously, with HIPAA laws and all of that. But the good thing is that it was non-life-threatening. So it was one of those situations. And you kind of feel bad for Denny Hamlin in a way, because you win, but then you've got to kind of temper it because the health of a driver is on the line. And that's one of those things that we talked about yesterday. Even though it's his third Daytona 500, second in a row for him, and he's one of the few drivers that has won it three times, all the other guys are in that Hall of Fame. So for Hamlin, it was a situation where, you know, it's a bittersweet moment that you want to celebrate an incredible accomplishment, winning the Daytona 500, but at the same time, you don't want to look insensitive. And you know, we talked about this yesterday, and I saw it on social media, people reacting off of Hamlin and Gibbs celebrating early on. Although Gibbs was kind of to the side, he really wasn't like into the celebration. And then Hamlin, the second he found out that there was something serious going on the track, they stopped it right away and they put an end to it. And it's, if you listen to even the broadcast, listen to the crash. Okay, when Mike Joy is describing the crash, he has a lot of joy in his voice, because it's whoa, wow, the spin, he gets hit, and it's because we are already programmed that these guys walk away from this thing constantly, and so the last thing on our minds is that they get injured, because it rarely happens, actually. As crazy as these crashes are, we see them walk away from these crashes more often than not. So you assume that after a spectacular crash, he's going to walk away. You're Denny Hamlin. You assume that at that crash, everybody will be fine. The cars are all screwed up. We can recover. We'll be fine. But then as it takes on, you have that attitude, that invincible attitude. And that's kind of what took over, because that's, You can't do that sport if you don't have that sense of invincibility. And you have to think that way. And you have to think that way about your fellow drivers, too. That if you crash, you're going to be safe. You know, you're going to go through a scare for a moment, because who the hell isn't going to be scared? And the second his car hits the wall, then flips, and when it is coming down, it gets hit right on the driver's side door by the incoming car, which, you know, that's 180, 200 miles an hour, that impact. That's where you're wondering, is that where he could have suffered some injuries in the process, because it hit and dented that driver's side door. And then he slid, and then you had the gas coming out. It took him 15 minutes to get him out of the vehicle. It was one of those situations yesterday where we crossed that bridge every once in a while, but we kind of take it for granted. And I can tell you, as a person that was in Daytona the weekend of Dale Earnhardt passing away, I can tell you how serious they take it there. And because it's a racing town, they kind of take on whatever goes on there. So it's a party town. If you've ever been to Daytona, I've been to Daytona several times. You don't have to go for spring break. It's always a party town. People are always having fun. I was there for Dale Earnhardt crash, and it was a morgue. It didn't matter what bar you walked in. They didn't have music playing. It was just quiet. It was one of those weird things. Even when you went to the beach, it felt like a beach that, like, people were going to meditate, to pray. That's what it felt like, in a way. And so I would imagine that there's that sense right now, you know, in Daytona because of this and all the drivers and everybody obviously, you know, praying for Ryan Newman and hopefully that he is able to push through it. But, man, just to see what happened yesterday, that was tough. That was tough. And it wasn't easy for me, I tell you, because I'm not a racing car expert, you know, but I've been there twice, one for my bachelor party and the other one for Dale Earnhardt, because half of my bachelor party was at Daytona 500 when Sterling Marlin won it back 31 years ago, actually, because it'll be our 26 years ago, not 31, 26 years ago, because it's going to be our 26th wedding anniversary coming up here in March. So, yeah, 26 years ago, I was there in Daytona when Sterling Marlin won, and I was in that pit. I still remember Kyle Petty gave us one of his tires. We took a tire with us home. My buddy got a glass table and put it on top of the tire because he was the racing freak out of all of us. So obviously he got it. But
that's crazy. Kyle Petty's the one that won the race when Dale passed away.
Yeah.
He had the three cars in front, and Dale was the third, and he had the two in front of him.
Yeah.
And
but
doing
this was
something.
The Sterling Marlin win.
No, well, Sterling Marlin, here, back-to-back wins.
Right.
Like Hamlin last night, there's only four guys to ever do it. Petty, right. Cale Yarborough, Sterling Marlin, and last night.
Yeah.
Very historic.
Right. So it was the Sterling Marlin win when we got that.
That's pretty historic,
We were on
man.
The fence, and we're like, hey, Kyle, come on over here. And he was really cool. He came over, said hi to us. He signed something for one of the guys, the freak, that was an auto racing freak. And then we asked him for a tire. And he goes, why not? We're going to throw them away. Lift the fence. Again, 26 years ago, there's no way that happens nowadays. So we lift the bottom of the fence. Kyle Petty rolls out the tire. My buddy is like in cloud nine because obviously he gets Kyle Petty's tire. I mean, how many times do you get to drive off the lot with a Daytona 500 used tire from a real racer? I mean, come on, dude. That's pretty cool. So yesterday – I had some of those memories from being there and obviously feeling it for Ryan Newman. So our thoughts and prayers, obviously, with the Newman family. Hopefully he pulls through. Like I was saying last night, hopefully it's some bumps and bruises, maybe a concussion, because I wouldn't be shocked if he suffered a concussion in that kind of a crash with all the impact. And you just move on and you get to walk away and forget about it. Hopefully there are no serious injuries. He is in serious condition, so we have to worry. Even though if it's not non-life-threatening, there's a slew of other problems that could come. That it doesn't mean that it's life-threatening, but it's still debilitating or a hell of a setback. Like I said yesterday, I just pray that he can walk away from the hospital and go do what he loves. Okay? That's all. Because I can relate to that. I do what I love every single day. And so, you know, it's fun to do what you love. You know, a lot of people don't get to do that. So our thoughts and prayers, obviously, with Ryan Newman. You have your comments. You can send them in, obviously, on the chat board there, on YouTube, on the accidentlawfirm.com text line, 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. I guess it's taken a little bit of a toll on me doing two shows yesterday.
Well, not just yesterday. You know, we did what we did Saturday. We had the double on Friday. You throw it with the show on Sunday. You know, man, you're like throwing yourself in the meat grinder, man.
Yeah. It's so I apologize if the voice is a little rough right now, but hopefully as it goes on, everything gets a little better and I get a little bit into a groove. and we'll be all right. We got a loaded show for you today. Once again, Tom DeAngelo, writer for the Palm Beach Post, he was at Marlins camp yesterday. Bruce Sherman came out and had some positive and strong predictions, let's say. The owner, Mike Triplett, will stop by, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Saints, covering New Orleans. I want to get into it with Mike here because he's got such an interesting story he's covering with Drew Brees, with Teddy Bridgewater, and with Taysom Hill. And I don't know what the hell the Saints are doing. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what direction they're going in. But it's got to be fun for Mike to cover this, or maybe not because his head is probably on a swivel. Manny Navarro with our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. He joins us every week to do that. And, man, this is driving me crazy, bro. Driving me crazy. I hate this.
4 days, man. This is day five for you.
Damn, bro. Just pissing me off. All right. I don't like it when my voice isn't the way it's supposed to be. Manny Navarro from Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report is going to be joining us at 1 o'clock, and then at 2:45, Matt Verderam from FanSided is going to join us to talk a little NFL. So we've got again a loaded show. We're covering everything for you. A lot of football talk today. Yesterday, we kind of went around and did all kinds of different things. We are adding a little baseball today because I thought Sherman's comments were important, and we got to go over those comments and talk a little Marlins. And listen, we're all hoping for the best. It's not like we want them to suck. I don't want the Panthers to suck. I don't want the Marlins to suck, or the Canes, or the Heat, or the Dolphins. I want everybody to win, man. It's fun to cover winning. It's fun to talk about good things. I don't want to talk about fire sales, and I don't want to talk about a struggling hockey team every single year. You know, that stuff gets boring. You know, the Panthers now are at a point where I was with the Dolphins. Remember, I would tell you, like, man, I'm tired of hammering the Dolphins because it's 20 years that they can't get it right. Now, I think they're on the right track now, but it's like the Panthers. And I know they won yesterday against the Sharks 5-3 and all that good stuff. It means nothing to me. You know, they got to do a lot more to convince me that they've actually done something and they've turned anything around here, which I don't think they will. I think they're done as it is. But my point is, it's better for us to cover the good. Okay?
When your team sucks, it sucks.
It sucks because it's just complaining and bitching. And look, if it happens once in a while, fine, you can deal with it. Like, let's say the Heat. You rarely have to complain about the Heat. So we went through a couple of years and we were complaining about these stupid contracts and all that. Now they've gotten through that forest now. We're starting to see the light now, and things are better. You know what I mean? It's cool. We're coming off a weekend where Bam won the skills contest. And what's it called? Derek Jones Jr. won the dunk contest. We saw Bam and Jimmy in the All-Star game. Duncan, I know, didn't do well in the three-point show, but whatever.
None had a nice showing.
Yeah, none had a great showing. 16 points, man, that's good. Undrafted, it's phenomenal for a kid to even be there and then to shine on top of all of that. So the Heat had great presence over the weekend. So we're kind of, you know, through that, you know? It's good. Don't forget to give us the thumbs up there while you're watching. More importantly, okay, share the link of the YouTube feed to all your friends, man. Share it on a text. Share it to a friend of yours that you know that maybe likes to listen to the show, doesn't know we're on, may not know we're on. There's a lot of people that still are finding out about us every single day, which is really, really cool how people find out that we're doing this every day and they can podcast it and follow it and all that good stuff and share it on Twitter and on Facebook and all that. Share the link as much as you can so we can grow and keep producing, well, try to produce a decent show for you. Let's do a little roll call. Time for some roll call this morning. Josh is saying, what's up, Big O? NorCal saying, boom. John Ross saying what's up. Jay Gelfand saying good morning, Orlando. Thank you. Flipside Fishing, hey, good morning, Big O. Loved your piece on Tua and Herbert yesterday. Pretty awesome. Hope we pick Herbert and move on. Well, you know, it's not a matter of – I was just explaining the scenarios to people and why maybe some – you know, maybe there are thoughts about Herbert over Tua. And if you listen to it, if you actually listen to it, then I think you'll understand. Big O, I love your truth and opinions. What do you think about Bryce Perkins as our project QB in Miami? I think he's the next Michael Vick. I got to tell you, I got a couple of other project guys that I've talked about. I'd rather go Anthony Gordon. You know, if I'm going to go project, I'd rather go the Princeton kid Davidson. There's some other projects that I'd rather go, but he is kind of he's kind of an interesting athlete out there. Let's see. John says another 5 years down the drain if they draft Herbert. Ian from Brooklyn, Big O and Bill, on deck morning. Yes, sir. Thank you. Josh says, Big O, Mel Kiper has the Lions picking 2 at 3, the Dolphins picking Herbert. Well, that makes no sense. Okay? Patricia has to win this year. He has to keep Stafford. So if they're going to draft Tua to bench him for a year, then fine. But if they got to get into the playoffs, aren't you better off getting a shutdown corner because you're trying to trade Darius Slay? Aren't you better getting a pass rusher? Aren't you better getting an offensive lineman for Matt Stafford? That's where Mel Kiper doesn't know his ass from his head. You understand? That's why I've never seen him. I think in the 22 Senior Bowls that I've been to, or 21, I've seen him there once. Okay? You know, it's really easy to pull out of your ass and say, oh, they're going to do this, when you don't really look at the scenario. Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia have to win this year. They're in year 3. They can't turn to the Fords and say, well, we want to rebuild now. We want to get rid of Matt Stafford, and we want to bring in a new quarterback, a young quarterback, so we can build. And they're like, well, wait a minute, you haven't built anything here yet with Matt Stafford. So you think they're going to allow him to take a quarterback, a number 3 overall pick that won't help you at all next year, and save your ass from getting fired? Come on, man. Mel Kiper is a great soundbite. I've said this for years. He does what I don't bother doing every year. He learns every single player, every position they're in, the school, and then he finds, you know, a positive, negative about the guy, and he's a soundbite about it. But when you say that they're going to take 2 at 3, if that's the truth, I didn't look at it because I don't really bother with that stuff because I know already kind of what's going on. But when you say that, you're actually not paying attention to what's going on around the league. Lions can't do that. They do that, they're going to get fired. And Tua will be there, but with somebody else quarterbacking. Let's see. Ty says, Big O and Bill, good morning. Thank you, sir. Peter says, what's up? He says, I can't stand how people say Herbert reminds them of Ryan Tannehill, like they've seen so much of Herbert to make the comparisons. Give me a break. Herbert is way better than Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback. Herbert's people got to stop with this. Herbert has accuracy. Tannehill did not. Herbert has ball placement. Tannehill doesn't. Herbert has pocket presence. Tannehill doesn't. Herbert thinks and plays like a quarterback. Tannehill is an athlete trying to play the quarterback position, so it doesn't come naturally to him. The comparisons are completely stupid when they make them between the two. The Herbert issue is all maturity. Nobody, I have not met one person in the pros that says he can't do this. Okay? Not one says he doesn't have accuracy. Not one says he can't read defenses. Not one says he's dumb. Not one says anything like that. Everybody says he's not mature enough. That's his issue. Jamarcus Russell, not mature enough. Dude had all – the Lord blessed him with all the skills. But if, you know, his problem was lazy. Herbert's not a lazy guy. Herbert's an immature guy. And if you don't know how to handle winning and losing and you don't know how to handle a locker room and all those kind of things, it's going to be a problem for you. So Herbert's thing is not a physical thing. Some of you got to get over that. And when you make the comparisons of Herbert and Tannehill, they couldn't – one guy was a project coming out. This guy's not a project. It's like Tua and Joe Burrow. They're not projects. They can play the damn position. Jordan Love is a project because he doesn't make all the right decisions. And he's also not accurate all the time. Gordon is a project. Nate Stanley, that I like out of Iowa, is a project. The Davidson kid is a project. These are guys that there's a good chance they're going to fail. An even better chance than the other guys. The problem is that they have the athletic ability to be the guy, but you got to refine some things. Joe Burrow's got the game, man. Tua can play the game. He just can't stay healthy. And Herbert can play the game. He's just immature. That's all. But it has nothing to do with the issues that Ryan Tannehill had coming out of Texas A&M.
Is the Tannehill comparisons because he had those three running touchdowns in the Rose Bowl and now he can run? And everybody thinks he can run now?
And he's big and white.
Is that what it is?
I guess. Line? It's just lazy. It's just laziness. You know, and then one person says it.
And that's it.
And then
spreads
it runs
a wildfire.
And everybody else says it. And then they're just tools. And that happens to a lot of you out there. You're just sheep. And you just repeat something that somebody says. You know, it's like the Stafford. Oh, Dolphins better watch out. The Lions may be interested in a quarterback. No, they're not, dude. They're not taking a quarterback. Now, could the Lions trade out of that pick to get extra picks, to get multiple players to help them out and make the playoffs this year? Hell yeah.
And along those lines, the Lions love the fact that it's creating a frenzy.
Right.
Somebody's going to want to move up, and they'll get more picks.
If the Lions can do, you tell me that, that's fine. But you tell me they're going to, you know, get rid of Stafford and draft Tua. Come on, man, use logic. Logic.
That ends the general manager and the head coach's job.
Yes,
they're done.
They're done, and they have to make the playoffs during year three already. Everybody's already killing them, and some of them are calling them racist. Because they fired Jim Caldwell, who had three winning seasons out of four and made the playoffs twice. Which, by the way, you should be inducted into Canton. Okay? In Detroit, if you have three out of four winning seasons and you go to the playoffs twice, you must be inducted into Canton right away. And they fired him. So you hire this guy that can't even make the play, can't win more than five or six games. So now they're gonna trade away Stafford to bring in Tua, who's not gonna play in 2020, pretty much, and 2021. So they're gonna buy Matt Patricia all that time. I mean, wow. How do you write that article? How do you talk about it? How do you report it? Do you have any common sense? Or are you just smoking the sense? Is that what it is? Let's see, what else do we have here? NorCal says, Big O, we chatting with German Doll Fan Club. They want to get on your fan club segment soon, Worldwide Doll Fan Clubs. We got to get them on. I got to figure out a way of doing the Skype stuff. Okay? But all that is coming. I'm trying to set up some stuff. So we're working on... I wish I could talk about it, but I just can't. Let's see. What else do we have? Josh says, you're right. It doesn't make sense. The Lions are dumb for doing that. I'll wait for sunshine. I love how we call that kid sunshine. Teams always want something different from the guy they moved on from, which means Herbert's not an option because of the similarities with Tannehill. Tua or Love is my educated guess. There are no similarities with Tannehill. But Ivan, if you want to keep believing that stupid-ass crap, go ahead, bro. I just told you there are no similarities between Tannehill and Herbert. If you want to keep doing that, then go ahead. You clearly aren't watching what the hell's going on. Josh goes, Tannehill is a wide receiver turned QB, Herbert straight up QB. Brother, once they move you to wide receiver, they tell you that tells you all they think about you as a quarterback. Drubo says, blessings and peace, Big O. Bill and Finn's Nation, praying for Ryan. Hell yeah. Mike Monaco from the Bronx says, good morning. Let's see, what else do we have here? John Santos says, hey, O, I'd rather have Herbert than an injury-prone QB like Tua. How do you argue with that? You know what, John? That makes all the sense in the world. And like I told you yesterday, for those of you that weren't tuning in, for those of you that didn't download the podcast, if you draft Tua, he's not playing pretty much for you in 2020. Maybe he plays in December a game or two before the season ends. You won't know anything about him. That means the 2021 draft will also go by. You can't take him because you still have Tua. So you're going to have to wait 2 years to find out whether he can actually play and stay healthy. So, yeah, meanwhile, you're into your second year with Herbert already, and you'll know a lot more. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. I can understand those that think like that. At least Herbert has the pocket presence and accuracy, unlike Tannehill. I have faith in Chris Greer. Fins up, baby. Let's see what else. Pete Martinez says, Tannehill sucks. We are lucky to not have him. Bro, Tua is the best quarterback, and he's going to be wear that 13 here in Miami. Well, I mean, Pete, you can think that if you want. I think he's a fantastic passer. I love his accuracy, ball placement. The kid can play. But the problem is he can't stay healthy. So I can't draft a kid that can't stay healthy. I'm just not a fan of that. Some guy on Twitter was like, well, that's uncool. You're predicting his injury. And I go, yeah, so did I. I did it also with Yetiel Green. How's that working out for you? You know what I mean? Come on, man. You know, listen.
It wasn't a tough stretch by no means.
No, and it's not like I'm going out of my way making a hell of a prediction that Tua's going to be injury prone. Really? Shocker. What's a shocker is if Tua actually stays healthy. That's the shocker. It's like, what injury is next? That's really the problem. And I get it. This is going to be our conversation all the way through. And you know, the thing about the Tua thing is, even after the draft, the Tua conversation will continue, and he's not even playing. No matter who you have. And until the Dolphins draft whatever quarterback, and then that young quarterback finally takes the field, because remember, Fitz will start probably again. So whenever that young quarterback will be sitting behind, right, and people will still be bitching about not taking Tua. So this Tua thing isn't going to end now, and it's not going to end right after draft day, and it won't end for months, maybe an entire year, because if your young guy doesn't play till the second half of the season and he doesn't play that well, they'll still be talking about Tua. I mean, we still talk about Drew Brees all the time. You know, every time we talk about a quarterback in the draft, a quarterback to trade for, a quarterback to move up for, all we talk about is, well, we had our opportunity twice with Drew Brees and we didn't take advantage. We don't want it to happen again. We're so snake bitten by all of this that it just, you know, it drives us crazy.
So let's say we'll always be talking about Tua.
Yes.
One way or the other.
Yeah, until...
Like the way Brees, what is that, 10, 12 years ago?
Until he breaks down. And then we'll go, oh, okay, yeah, that's why we didn't take him. That's what they're going to say. Yep. Let's see, what else do we have here on the draft? Josh... Herbert is going to be the man this season. It's going to be interesting what's going to happen with Rosen. Do the Dolphins trade him? Or do you keep him as a backup? Because you have him under contract for several years, so you can keep him behind whoever you draft to. And you could get rid of Fitz after this season. Big O, if D. Parker plays all year and produces great results again this year, will he start getting more hype around the league? NorCal, I think Devontae Parker's already getting that hype around the league. There's no doubt. And if he comes back next year and starts to ball, he starts to become Pro Bowl player is what happens to him next year. Okay? I mean, he already proved it this year. Dude balled out. And let me tell you, you think those defensive backs didn't earn some serious respect from his ass? Because you knew they were going to him, and they still didn't stop him. That's pretty awesome. Okay? That part you got to absolutely love, that they were able to do that. Okay? So I think there's no doubt in my mind that DeVante Parker had made huge leaps and bounds. It's just a matter of, okay, can he do it again next year, or was this a fluke year that he stayed healthy? Right? Because he's been an injury-prone player dating back to college. And the only problem with him is staying healthy. I wonder how people have a problem with us talking about DeVante Parker constantly injured, and then some people get butthurt that we talk about Tua's always injured. Isn't that odd? Isn't that strange? It's kind of weird, right? Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post is going to join us on the other side. We're going to switch gears a little bit here. We'll talk a little Marlins. He was there when Bruce Sherman was talking yesterday, making some bold predictions about his baseball team. Tom does a great job of covering South Florida sports, so we'll have a little fun with him. We'll get his thoughts on the Heat, too. He does it all, Tom DeAngelo. Tom DeAngelo 44, that's the Twitter handle. Don't forget, folks, to give us the thumbs up while you're watching and share the YouTube link with everybody. Share with a friend on a text. Share it on Facebook, on social media, on Twitter, anywhere and everywhere. Tell them to come over and watch or listen to real sports talk, the kind of sports talk you can't get anywhere else in South Florida. Back with Tom DeAngelo right here on the Big O Show.
Plus tax, tech title. It includes $899 dealer fee on approved credit offers and 11-10-19.
Over 1,500 Toyotas are on the ground, and truckloads of new 2020 Toyotas just keep on coming. To eliminate all 2019 models, Toyota of Hollywood is holding the ultimate 2019 model year changeover event. Make us an offer, any offer, and you can buy a Toyota at up to 50% less than their original MSRP when new and used.
50% less.
A pre-owned 2019 RAV4, not 30,000, 19,775. A pre-owned 2019 Camry LE, not 26,000, 17,775. A pre-owned 2019 Corolla LE, not 22,000, 12,775. Pay up to 50% less at Toyota of Hollywood, the number one volume Toyota dealer. Based on total retail sales of new Toyotas in the Southeast region for 2014 to 2018 per SET. On 441 between Hollywood Boulevard and Sheridan Street. Open till midnight.
No one expects to get into a crash, but I expect you to go to accidentlawfirm.com if you do. Make sure when hiring a driver, you go through a rideshare app so that you can be covered by the insurance, which can be up to $1 million, whether you're a passenger or a driver. In other words, don't try to save a few bucks by paying cash instead of going through the app. I'm attorney Bobby Nunez from Nunez Law in Miami, and we're here to help you through the process. Go to accidentlawfirm.com for a free consultation from me, Bobby Nunez. That's accidentlawfirm.com.
The world's biggest band is coming twice. Metallica. Headlining the Welcome to Rockville Music Festival. Two different nights, two different sets. The weekend of May 8th through the 10th. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all information. Get your tickets on sale right now. The one, the only, Metallica. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com.
Thinking about buying or refinancing a home? Act now. Home values are ticking up. Don't put off making a move any longer. Call Michael Codsey now at Choice Mortgage Bank, 561-441-2730. While mortgage interest rates are still at historical lows, call now to get pre-approved and buy your dream home. If you're currently paying over $800 a month for rent, call 561-441-2730 now before interest rates go up. Down payments as low as 3.5%. Veterans may qualify qualify for no money down. If you own a home, but you're upside down, Michael Kodzie can help. If you're being denied by your bank or your loan process is taking too long, call 561-441-2730. Act now while fixed rates are still under 3.5%. Offices in Boca and Boynton Beach. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. Equal housing lender. NMLS 122081.